Last week, South Australian police conducted a raid on a woman who supplies medicinal marijuana to people all over the country. Jenny Hallen distributed medicinal marijuana to people who are sick or terminally ill for free, and one such patient, in speaking to the ABC, estimated 200 people looked for her for the medicine. Her equipment was taken and she's been charged with drug offences, and many people are worried about the harm that will come to those now without the medicine. Medicinal marijuana has been the subject to a lot of scrutiny lately, as the federal government have made, with a license, growing medicinal marijuana legal. But it is up to each state individually as to whether they allow the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. I spoke to the CEO of Queensland Network of Alcohol and Other Drug Agencies, Rebecca McBean, about medicinal marijuana and its implementation in the medical community. The raid that happened last week, how will this affect the people that need this medicine the most?
It cuts them off from their supply. So I think it's this tricky space that we find ourselves in where, you know, governments have made decisions about allowing people access to medicinal cannabis, but it's how you take something that's been traditionally kind of illegal and move it into the legal market. I mean, there's always going to be some hiccups and some grey area along the way. And, we raised with the committee considering it here in Queensland, how they had to think about how they were going to instruct Queensland Police, who, you know, have this role in taking drugs off the streets, into knowing, you know, which cannabis plants were okay and which ones they were still allowed to seize. So, I mean, I think it just really points to, the kind of ridiculous situations you can find yourself in while we're in a transition kind of space.
What are the key benefits of medicinal marijuana?
The potential of medicinal cannabis is a bit limitless at the moment. I mean, some of the research that's coming out suggests that it could have benefits for conditions as widespread as autism, as well as spasticity associated with multiple sclerosis, what we know from the very public kind of campaign to get the government to agree to it, the benefits that it has for young children with treatment-resistant epilepsy and people who are experiencing nausea-related symptoms associated with their chemotherapy treatment. So, I mean, the exciting thing is that the decision of government, the federal government, to kind of allow medicinal cannabis in any form means that now scientists can actually properly research its potential, and we could see a whole range of applications for in the coming years that we just would never have dreamed of a few years ago.
Why is it still being disputed in the medical community?
It's because in the sort of intervening years since people sort of accepted Western medicine and doctors and prescriptions as being the best way to go with your health, they rely on a standard of evidence that it's just not possible to get with a legal product that you're not allowed to study. I mean, you know, the Professor Ian McGregor, who's running the Lambert Initiative out of the University of New South Wales, which is where some of this really exciting research is coming out of, as little as 3 or 4 years ago, wanted to study the potency of recreational marijuana and had to limit his study to New South Wales because you couldn't transport even things that had been seized by police across state borders, because that in and of itself is a crime. So having something that's illegal, it means that it cannot be studied. So that's, I guess, what's particularly exciting about what's happening at the moment.
Queensland will soon allow specialists to prescribe medicinal marijuana to patients as of March. How is this process going?
They're in the process of drafting the regulations at the moment. We're sort of working through, it's progressing quite well from our perspective. But one of the things that we raised with the committee when they were considering the bill to legalise it was how they were going to manage people who had their own supply and their own kind of arrangements that were working for them. Because, you know, we don't want to set those people back while we go back to the drawing board and build an evidence base for what they instinctively already know to be true and to be working for themselves. So that's still going to be the trickiest bit. So and then the next part of that will be tricky will be actually informing the medical community to an extent that they're then comfortable to prescribe it. I think that's going to be the immediate barrier once the scheme's up and running, is that you'll have specialists who won't be satisfied with anecdote and therefore will be really reluctant to advise their patients to use it.
On that, what are the key determining factors on whether a specialist prescribes medicinal marijuana to a patient?
It needs to be that they've tried what we would call conventional treatments and that they aren't working for them, and that then the clinician believes, has a reasonable belief, that they will derive some benefit from medicinal cannabis. As I understand it, is kind of where it's been pitched, which is not a bad way to pitch it. I mean, these things are a bit difficult to set up, but I think you're going to find that the types of specialists who are willing to prescribe it will be quite limited in the first instance. And so far we've seen a bit of interest from the palliative care community, where I would think that they would have patients who would be using it kind of, you know, without prescription at the moment, and so they've got a bit of experience with it. And then the children with Dravet syndrome is the other place where I think you'll see specialists wanting to have a look.
So with this debacle that's happened in South Australia, the federal government last year legalised the growing of medicinal marijuana under a licence. Do you think a uniform law of medicinal marijuana use is likely?
I wouldn't hold my breath for it. I mean, if our federation has taught us anything, it's difficult to get six states to agree to anything, let alone something that is as emotionally charged as kind of what some people would see as the thin end of the wedge in terms of decriminalisation or legalisation of illicit drugs. So I think the best we can hope for is that we get a good model in one state and then the other states look to pick that up, which will then bring some kind of uniformity. But, I mean, we can't even get uniformity in our education system, so it's unlikely that we'll get it here.